Say it with me now. Sports are back, baby. I've been waiting for this day since March, and now that it's here, I've only got one thing on my mind. My bookie. My bookie is a home run, slam dunk, triple overtime, game-winning shot, all wrapped up into one. I love it, you love it, and that should be all you need to hear in order to start betting today. My bookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all your favorite teams, and with the start of Major League Baseball just around the corner, there's never been a better time to start playing. With my bookie, it's easy. You bet, you win, they pay. Feeling good about your team's chances this year? Be sure to check out MyBookie's World Series future bets. Nothing shows you believe in your squad like betting on them before the season's ever even begun. But why stop with baseball? Smart bettors are always looking towards the future, and in this case, that means basketball, hockey, and football. MyBookie is already accepting bets on all your favorite NBA, NHL, and NFL games. There's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Join today and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%. Plus, they'll toss in a free $10 Major League Baseball future wager. All you got to do is enter the promo code MENACE when signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. It is Thursday, August 13th of the shittiest week in Big Ten football history. We have just canceled the fucking season. I can't believe they did it. I understand it. I understand it entirely. I've talked to people on both sides of the issue. I've talked to a number of people within not only Ohio State, but a couple other Big Ten schools. And I get it. I know how it happened now. I understand it. And I think it's complete cowardice. And just it's the same. It goes back to the same thing that's going on with the politics that are involved and shutting down the country, politicizing that. I mean, this is just a nightmare for the general public, for a bunch of young men and women that are a part of these sports, fall sports, and it's just a shame. And I truly believe that come early November, when we have either a new president or the same president, this will all disappear. And you could talk about vaccines all you want if you want to be Bill Gates' little right-hand man. But this is a tragedy. And it's unfortunate because there's definitely a pandemic going on. There's definitely a real issue out there. The problem is the general public and really everyone. We can't figure out what the fuck is real and what the problem is, and it's just absurd. And I can go on for days, but I will. Before we get to the show, I'll tell one quick story. I had a meeting with the superintendent here in Olentangy about getting our kids back in school yesterday morning. And awesome meeting, awesome staff, and awesome group of parents that showed up. But one story just kind of after the meeting, had nothing to do with the meeting, that caught me off guard is one of the moms that was there, her husband, went in for pancreas surgery, pancreasitis. He had to get his pancreas removed. Perfectly healthy, just needed his pancreas removed. He goes in. Obviously, they test everyone before they have surgery if they have COVID. Well, this guy tested positive for COVID. And his hospitalization to get his pancreas out was counted as a COVID hospitalization. And I'm not saying that COVID isn't real. But when shit like that is going on, it leads the general public to sit here and say, what the fuck is real? What is this? So if we're just going to count anyone that goes in that tests that are asymptomatic, no problems, no issue, not a problem in the world that has this virus, if we're going to count them as hospitalizations and then treat those hospitalizations as patients that have COVID that are really struggling and potentially dying, we're fucked up. That's all I'm here to say. We're basing shit on fucked up analytics and stats. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying we shouldn't be shutting down. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying we're basing it on bullshit. That's enough. I'll get off my soapbox about it now because I want to talk about what the fuck just happened and the ramifications of possible playouts here for 2020 and 2021. So we're going to get to that right now. Thank you for tuning in. This show, we're going to make it a full episode. I'm going to put the full episode out to the public, kind of go against our hybrid model just one time, just to, because I think I want everyone to hear this and everyone to hear every bit of this. We're going to make this a dual show. So we're going to do a normal show, and then we're going to add on some of the question and answer and call-in stuff from our Beyond the Show that will be up for Patreon subscribers today. So if you're interested in this show, if you love the show, for $2.99 a month, you can get full episodes. $5 a month, you get them early, and $10 a month and up, you get all the extra content, extra shows, the Beyond the Show shows, and then moving forward, there'll be other college football shows behind the paywall. So check it out for me if you're interested. It's under $3. We appreciate it. Patreon.com/menace to sports. But enough about that. Let's get to the show.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. and the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Episode 109, Menace to Sports. I am Zach Smith. Thank you for joining me. I'm going to start off addressing the doomsday man that I am, right? The dramatic doomsday man that I am, judging social media. I just want to let you know I feel for the players that are done. I mean, you think about some of these stories, just guys that are personal to me, and there's a countless number of them. If you're a fan of Michigan, you're a fan of Penn State, you're a fan of Notre Dame, not Notre Dame yet, but if you're a fan of some of these Midwest schools, you have those stories, right? Those guys that sacrificed, maybe came back, wanted one more shot at it. I look at Sean Wade. Guy would have been, what, at worst, a second-round pick. Probably $8 to $10 million lost in this last calendar year to come back and try to help his team win a championship and possibly increase his draft stock. All for what? Wyatt Davis, first-team All-American. Comes back to try to be the number one guard off the draft board. For what? And then the one I really think about, and we're going to listen to his words right now, is a guy like Jonathan Cooper, who as a fourth-year senior gets dinged up, gets healthy, has the option to come back at the end of the year, maybe play the last two games in the postseason with his teammates, but foregoes those games so that he can still get his red shirt to participate in a fifth-year full season for his own future. Try to have a Joe Burrow year, right? Go from a lower-end draft pick to a high draft pick. Try to improve his life. He decides to come back. Hindsight being 2020, what an awful decision. And I feel terrible for him because that's a grown-ass man right there. I know him really well. A grown-ass man. And I don't know if he would have made an impact. I would say this, one of your best defensive ends in a close game against Clemson where the quarterback kind of had his way running around, I would think Coop would have had quite an impact. So now you can almost chalk up a trip to the national championship game for Ohio State to this bullshit also. You know, that's obviously quite a jump and jumping to a conclusion or quite a guess. You know, who knows how it would have played out, but I promise they could have used him. And I promise you this, Coop right now is just sick that he didn't get to play in those games knowing what would come. So I want to let him talk about what they've done, the sacrifices they've made before this bullshit shutdown.
This is me personally. Like, when I think about my 5 years here and how much I sacrificed to try to have a healthy year, healthy season, to get through it and do what I want to do with y'all, like, this is easy for me. This is easy sacrifice. I can wear a mask. I don't have to go out and see nobody. I live by myself. I'm cool. I don't be around nobody. This is one of the easiest sacrifices I ever had to make here. This is nothing to me because of all the years and the work that I put in with Coach Mick, Coach Day, Coach Johnson, and working here and being here. Me getting hurt last year. Me getting hurt last year and not being with y'all brothers, not being every single game, man, that hurt me way, way more than me not being able to go out to the club. Me not be able to see my friends. That means nothing to me. The only thing that matters to me is y'all being safe in this season. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm back. I don't care about wearing a mask. I don't care about being social distance. And I know some of the young guys, they might not get it. But for me, for being a fifth-year senior here, all the work I put in here, this is an easy sacrifice. And all I ask y'all is y'all to think about that too, man. When y'all out there at the club, you're not just putting yourself at risk. You're putting the team, the coaches, and my season at risk. And I can't have that, man. But I love y'all boys. And just be safe. Really just be safe, be smart. Because in order for us to have a season, that's what we got to do. Okay. Listen to Coach Johnson. Listen to Coach Day. Listen to Coach Mick. Listen to everybody, man, all right? Love y'all boys.
The tragedy around that is absurd. I mean, I'm getting emotional. To the players that this was their last go at it, Jonathan Cooper's of the world, Wyatt Davis, Sean Wade, Justin Fields, I apologize. I apologize for the cowards that lead college football, the cowards that lead the Big Ten, because whether you should play or should not play, you were lied to. Did you hear what he said?
He said, these are small sacrifices that we have to make so that we can have a season. That's bullshit. That's what they were told. That's what they were told from the Big Ten. That's what they were told from college football. That if you make these sacrifices, you will have a season. Bullshit. This was a political ploy, and the lives of young men that sacrifice a ton were fucked with because of your cowardice, Kevin Warren, Mark Emmert. It's a joke. It's ridiculous. And here's the reality. This comes down to liability. This comes down to not wanting players to have that power, that voice, to unionize, to unite. And it's all a power play by the NCAA because they don't want that to happen. They don't want the liability, obviously. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But this was simply a ploy to try to avoid players having a voice. And the problem is that train was going and destined for a train wreck long ago. We should have listened to Northwestern in 2012 when they wanted to unionize. And all we lost was college football on EA Sports. That's all that happened from that. Because the NCAA would not budge. And now here we are on the hoof of name, image, and likeness compensation. These players uniting. And the NCAA said enough is enough. They shut it down. And I'm going to tell you why the NCAA is to blame here in a little bit. But the Big Ten really shut it down. Because the Big Ten shut down Northwestern in 2012. Because of clowns in leadership roles. So, coming from me, who I would have had you play, I would have fought for you to play. I know people are fighting for you to play, but I still feel terrible just because I'm a good person and care about some of these young men. So, Coop, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to all the players that put in all that work. I think about guys like the guys I mentioned before, even Cameron Babb, who's had a hell of a go of it for 2 years, injured. It finally looks like he's healthy. Finally going to look like he might achieve some success and realize his dreams. He's worked so hard to get healthy. Only for it to be stripped away. So I'm sorry, college football players, college football fans, and the college football coaches that fought like hell to give these kids a season. I apologize for the cowards that won't apologize to you. But that brings me to my sentiments that have been on social media. And people will have their opinions, right? They will say the things they want to say. That's social media for you. A lot of them are negative. I mean, there's a couple trolls that every time I tweet, they say something about being a criminal or domestic abuser. And those people are just miserable in their own right, so I don't pay them any mind. But then you have people that really hang on stuff that I say, being as a guy that's been there, right? I've been in the industry. I know a little bit about it. I know about recruiting about as well as anyone can. And people that have never been in a real heated elite recruiting battle want to tell me that this is not a monumental catastrophe for Ohio State football. It's hilarious. People that have never recruited a day in their life want to come out and say anyone that says this is some doomsday scenario is ridiculous. No, you don't know what you're talking about. That's the reality. And there's further evidence of that. Never mind me what I'm saying. I'm saying it from a place of hurt for this program and these friends of mine that are now crushed by this. That's where it's coming from. It's not coming from some doomsday bullshit. But here's the other thing. You don't believe me? Go look at Mark Pantone's Twitter right now. Just, 24 times a day retweeting something about how catastrophic and detrimental and awful this is and what should have happened and how the South is handling it and how the Big Ten screwed it up. You know why? One, because he cares. Two, because he knows recruiting like I do. His job just got 100 times harder. Now, granted, I'm here for the conversation about Ohio State can and will recover from this. They're probably the one school that can. But here's the difference. People say, look at Penn State. Look what Penn State did. They recovered. Here's the difference. Penn State was one university. They just had to withstand that kind of lull and that dip. And then bounce back, being a big brand and a big conference in major college football. The problem here is this shutdown didn't affect Ohio State singularly. It affected the Midwest brand, the Big Ten brand of football. By shutting down, albeit, let's say the other conferences shut down, albeit premature, they just showed and gave ammunition to the fact that they don't care about football as much. There was no reason. And I've said before, I'm taking all bets. They will play football in the South. Well, I don't know if it'll be a whole season. I don't think anyone can know that. I think it'll be a lot like the meeting I had with the superintendent, where they plan to get back to 5 days a week, full time school, right? That's their plan. I think that's a lot of people's plan. But the reality is they're going to test it out first and see how that goes. And then if it goes well, they'll kick it in 5 days a week. It's going to be a lot like season. They're going to play some games, see how it goes. And I would bet you there will be some cases. You have to expect that. If you think it's going to be honky-dory and no cases, you're an idiot. There's going to be some cases. But barring a major outbreak where a whole team has to shut down, barring a death, God forbid, those two things will shut it down. But if those two things don't happen, this season will go off without a hitch. There'll be hiccups, but there will be a full season. Mark my words. Now, you want to talk about liability. You want to talk about the lawyers. I'm with you. That's a big problem and hurdle they have to overcome or risk they have to take. But one of the funniest things I read about all this was the sentiment, people saying, fire Gene Smith, enough is enough. And I just sat there and was like, huh? Why? I get it. He didn't have a strong statement coming out after the fact. But you have to understand, this is one of the smartest leaders and men that I've been around. And this is a guy that fired me. So there's no reason for me not to slam Gene Smith right now. But he's got an obligation to not only his university, the people he works for, but to make an intelligent decision. And we're going to get to how this happened in the Big Ten or Ohio State in a minute. But once it's already done and he knows the Board of Trustees, knows the president is not going to allow anything to happen, what do you want him to do? Come out in complete disagreement and defiance against them? Yeah, that'll really prolong his career. Because he played even-keeled and tried to adhere to his boss's vote and opinion. Now we need to chastise him. If you want to chastise anyone, we need to chastise the Big Ten commissioner for having 14 teams vote, which is absurd. It should be like the olden days where Bo and Woody would meet with the Big Ten commissioner and just make a decision on what's best for the conference. That's what needs to happen. You don't bring a local government to the White House to talk about what the country needs. I get it, that's dramatic. But why the hell Rutgers has any say in what goes on in the Big Ten right now is just mind-blowing to me. But Gene Smith didn't vote. He clearly wanted to have a season, so why do we need to fire Gene Smith? It's ridiculous. Now, I agree he did not take a strong stance, but you have to understand, and I learned this the really hard way, is these ADs and head coaches are at the mercy of the president and board of trustees. They can't come out in strong opposition against these entities if they want to keep their job. So now let's talk about it. Lay the blame where it belongs. Why did we lose the season? Number one, the NCAA and leadership of Mark Emmert. If anything good can come of this, it would be the destruction of the NCAA, players unionizing, and having a better governing body put in place, because the NCAA has been a clown show forever. Think about what they did. They took no stance on the issue, offered no guidance on the issue, left it up to conferences. So now we potentially could have two different seasons. We'll have a regular season, and then if Ryan has his way, a January season. If the Big Ten has their way, a spring season. Guys are going to be in pads for 10 out of 12 months. Player safety, my fucking ass. And here's how they screwed it up. They banned COVID waivers. Now, I get it. I understand. I've talked to lawyers. The waivers might not hold up in court, certainly in a death. They might not be the best. I mean, they might just not be worth the paper they're printed on. I get it. But why ban the waivers then? At least you can have waivers. You can have the semblance and appearance that to show, look, 90% of our players signed the waiver. They want to play, right? They banned waivers. For what reason? So you couldn't force and pressure the athletes? Man, get the fuck out of here. Every school is going to honor any kid that wants to opt out scholarship. That's going to happen. Now, they're not going to be on the team honky-dory and watch practice from the sideline, but their wishes will be granted. So that's number one, the NCAA. The number two is conference. Obviously, the conference failure. Kevin Warren, complete failure. And I've read a lot about him since then, and Bobby Carpenter has some strong words about him because Bobby's well-connected to the NFL community and college football. This is a guy that's been run out of the NFL completely. The Vikings ran him out of town, and he just falls uphill and becomes the Big Ten commissioner. Kudos to whoever made that fucking hire. Why would Rutgers and Maryland have the same vote as Ohio State and Michigan? Why? Explain that to me with any logic. That's not how it works in the world. If Rutgers and Maryland don't want to play, have them opt out. Go the UConn route, right? Opt out. You don't have to play. Let's get the top half of the conference, take a vote, because guess what? The top half of the conference, with the exception of Ohio State, voted to play. from what I've heard. But Kevin Warren had no plan, no attempt at a plan, no attempt to play. It was all smoke and mirrors. Woody and Bo used to shape the Big Ten back in the day. Why would the small fish get a say? Why should the top echelon of the conference cancel because Rutgers sucks and has a new coach, because Michigan State is down and has a new coach, because Maryland is terrible? Why would Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, why would they have to cancel their season because those schools don't want to play? And that gets to Michigan State. For those that think they voted yes, I can't see it. I've heard they're one of the flip-floppers, right? Could have voted no, could have voted yes. I think they voted no, and here's why. New staff, programs in shambles. The season off would wildly benefit them. Not playing this season would give them a whole, and not to mention, they didn't have spring ball. So you kind of put them behind the eight ball, too. They didn't have spring ball. They didn't have a time to implement all their offense and defense. They were behind the eight ball. They did not want to play. No way. They did not want to play. Rutgers and Maryland, duh, they voted no. They both need all the time they can, and games right now won't help anything about their program. And then think about it, Northwestern, Illinois, maybe Indiana. These are the schools deciding if we play or not. It's absurd. It really is. And the next blame, if you want to call it that, not blame, but pawn in this whole game is Governor DeWine and also former Governor Kasich, because Governor Kasich appointed all but two of the Board of Trustee members at Ohio State. All but two. DeWine appointed those two. And the Board of Directors at Ohio State has one sports fan on the entire board. Everyone else are businessmen and women, academic people. They don't give a shit about football. They don't give a shit about sports. You can't have that at a place like Ohio State. So the way the Board of Trustees works is, I want to talk about the Board of Trustees. So the governor of Ohio appoints 15 Ohio residents who serve 9-year terms, and then two voting student trustees who serve 2-year terms. And then they select a bunch of non-voting, non-Ohio residents to serve as charter trustees, whatever. So never mind DeWine, I'm not even going to get on that, his implicit actions to shut down the entire state of Ohio for the unforeseeable future. Let's go through the board of directors, right? There's 15 of them, and I'm going to make this quick. Gary, the one thing that I want to dispel is this thing that liberal colleges and liberal college leaders shut it down, trying to make this a Democratic or liberal ploy to shut down the conference. Understand something. 70% of the Board of Trustees at Ohio State are Republican, donate to Republicans. This is not some liberal board. Now, there's a bunch of legal people on here, a bunch of lawyers that are definitely in fear of liability. And this president that we just hired is wildly liberal. But Gary Heminger, the chair, was the CEO of Marathon Oil, Republican. Now, Abigail Wexner is Lex Wexner's wife and lawyer. Enough said about that. If you want to go down the Epstein route, good Lord. But she's a Republican. Brent Porty is a farmer and cattleman, very successful one, Republican. Aaron Hoflinger from Aetna, Republican. Alex Fisher, who's a CEO of Columbus Partnership, who helps build Columbus. He's supported both sides. Hiroyuki Fujita, CEO of Quality Electrodynamics Medical Development, Democrat. Alan Stockmeister, Foremost Management. It's a construction firm, Republican. John Ziegler, a litigation lawyer, Democrat. Elizabeth Kessler, a litigation lawyer, Democrat. You want to talk about the two people that wanted to pull the plug really fast. Two liberals that are litigation lawyers. I mean, you couldn't paint a picture of a more quintessential person that would want to shut it down. Louis Van Thayer, CEO of Battelle, Republican. Jeff Kaplan, a longtime OSU academic, a Democrat. Michael Kigan, banking, insurance, and real estate, Republican. So you can go through the board and try to blame it on this narrative that, you know, universities are liberal and that's why they're shutting it down in the Big Ten. Not at Ohio State. That's a conservative-ass board of trustees. They really dropped the ball on their timing, though. They knew about this. Here's what the board fucked up. They knew about this pandemic when? Back in March, or probably before March. They left the president's office vacant for 3 months. The most critical 3 months for the university and athletics, not just athletics, but the university. They left the president's office vacant. No one to make a decision during the most wild thing in the history of education. Think about that. So the question at large is this. Did they simply instruct Christina Johnson on how to vote? And what was that vote? I do know this for a fact after talking to several people in the program and that are connected with the board. She was against playing I mean, as hard of a stance as you can take, very against playing. That doesn't mean they voted no, because the Board of Trustees could have just told her how to vote. She hasn't been on the job, and she just sent a vote. The other thing that could have happened is they're rattling through the votes, and there's 7-8 no's already, so she just says yes to not, you know, just commit career suicide. That could have happened. Because Christina Johnson, she worked under the Secretary of Department of she was an undersecretary at the Department of Energy for President Obama. She's a very liberal educator and businesswoman. She was quoted by sources as saying she absolutely did not want to play this season. But that is what it is. So I wanted to get my thoughts out there, my take on it, what I've heard, what I've learned from talking to people that I know in the industry, and just my own experience on the impact of all of this. And so I want to talk a little bit more about that after we get back from a quick break. And we're also going to kind of give you a snippet of our Beyond the Show episode that's going out later today, because a lot of call-ins, a lot of questions submitted about all this, some really great stuff that I wanted to throw on this show, not only to just give you great content, but also to show you kind of what's behind the paywall on Patreon. So if you want to check that out, patreon.com/menace2sports. We will be right back after a quick message from one of our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about something we could all use more of right now. Sex. Great sex. Guys, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is made in the USA. It's prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor or wait in line. It's even cheaper than a pharmacy. And they prepare and ship it right to you in a discreet package, no awkwardness, and you don't need to leave the house. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MENACE. You just pay $5 shipping. Give it a try. I'm telling you, it's big time. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE to try it for free. Blue Chew is a better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you help make this podcast possible. So be sure to use our promo code MENACE at BlueChew.com. All right, thank you for taking the time to listen to that and for supporting our supporters, as we always say, and I always say, I appreciate it. To make this show possible, we need that support, and you supporting them makes them want to support us more. So thank you for supporting them. And we're going to get to some questions and answers, because we try to do this as much as possible, obviously more frequent when football's in session than in the off season, but we still put them out, you know, once a month, twice a month, sometimes three times a month. A Beyond the Show, we have a Menace in the Morning with Curtis Grant, which we haven't done in a while, and we're going to get back to here. Well, we were going to get back to when football started, but we'll probably get back to it soon anyways, regardless if there's no football or not. But before we get to the questions and answers, I just kind of want to address that just my final thoughts. I believe that football is going to happen this fall. As I said, I think the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 are going to play. I think it's going to be catastrophically detrimental to Ohio State. And I think Ryan Day is sincerely going to question if he should jump to the NFL, where he doesn't have to deal with this political liberal bullshit and the bullshit of the NCAA, not nothing else, like the amateurism, but not amateurism. Now the name, image, and likeness, they're going to try to screw that up somehow. The NFL, it's simple. It's a business. Players are compensated. There's unions. It's cut and dry, bubble, whatever. Doesn't matter. Really easy. And if the Big Ten would operate like the SEC and ACC and listen to their medical professionals and listen and try to do this the right way, like the SEC and ACC are doing, at least not pull the plug for no reason after you put out a schedule 4 days later, I don't think Ryan would even consider leaving. And now, make sure you understand, I'm not saying Ryan is going to leave. I'm saying they just made it really easy for him to entertain the idea. And if that happens, with the recruiting ramifications, if they play football in the South, if Ryan Day were to leave, this is what I said. It is doomsday. It is catastrophic, the issue, the impact of this. Now, that is worst case scenario. I understand that. I'm not being some dramatic person. That is worst case scenario. But the problem is, worst case scenario is fucking possible. It could happen. And that's a really, really, really slippery slope, scary deal. That's all I'm trying to put out there. So we're going to get some questions and answers right now. We'll take to the phones. All right, we're on Menace to Sports Beyond the Show. Next caller, Joe from Columbus. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing, Zach?
I'm good, man. Really good. What do you got for me?
Good, good. Well, you know, just kind of thinking through all these timelines of events that's gone on the last couple of weeks, you know, false hope from the Big Ten, the schedule, are we going to have football? Are we not? Fall sports, football, whatever. And then, you know, they just all of a sudden throw their hands up and cancel. Yeah. Now, I did read the other night, you know, Justin Hook does a great job reporting and reporting facts. And he mentioned that the president's learned of a, you know, new possibility of this COVID, of, you know, inflammation of a heart wall or something of that nature. I can't remember exactly what it was. So I thought that was a great point. But another thing that I just thought of, and I don't know if this is something that has even been really talked about, but my thought is did the Big Ten reach out to the presidents of the universities and say, send us the numbers? What's it going to cost to put these games on every week versus, you know, maybe years past, how much money we've made? Is it really worth the time and money of lost to put these games on and the risk of COVID to have these games? So my thought is, did the little analyst there under the presidents come up and say, hey, we're going to lose, you know, $2 million a game per team? And then Kevin Warren just kind of saw that and said, holy shit, fuck this, we're out.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think that's a reason to cancel. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, you're talking about Ohio State has like a $200 million budget. And a large part of that, like I remember I read a thing not long ago that making the national championship game, Ohio State got somewhere around like $30 million in ticket sales from home games that year. So you're losing $30 million, right? If you don't have fans in the stands. But I think the bigger part of it is if you don't play at all, you lose the 50 some million dollars that you get from the Big Ten Network and Fox for playing your games, period. So though ticket sales are, and you add in concessions and everything, it's probably an even match, maybe even a little bit more from ticket sales and concessions, but especially with alcohol sales. But losing $50 million from the Big Ten Network for one season, it's catastrophic. So I think they would have played just for that money alone. I mean, you're talking about, that's each school too, $50 million. That's their revenue split of the, right, of the TV deal. So, I mean, and to be honest, people have been talking to me about, oh, do you think maybe Northwestern's and people like that canceled because of finances? It's like, no, that impacted them less not having fans because they don't make as much on fans. Like if anyone, the biggest losses came from Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State because of the ticket sales losses and concessions losses if they still played. Not Northwestern and Illinois. They weren't making shit on that anyways. They were making the 50 mil on the TV deal because of Ohio State. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, I get that for sure. So I guess that would bring me to my next question. Could that be possibly why Gene Smith came right out like that day, snapping his finger and said, no way Ohio State's going to look outside the Big Ten and play in, you know, the ACC, SEC, whatever. I mean, could that have something to do with the network? The network saying like, hey, you guys go to another conference or even think about it, and you fuck us on this TV deal, we're done.
Yeah, see, I don't think so. I think that it would have been a lot like the Notre Dame situation, albeit it was a lot later. But I think it would have been a lot like the Notre Dame situation where the TV networks have to realize that this is a huge benefit for, let's say, the SEC network or ACC network, and this is going to be a huge loss for the Big Ten network. So is there a way they can come together and split the money so that both of them have a gain? You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that's the reality. Now, I think Gene Smith came out with that statement because of the president, because of this president who is so vehemently against playing this fall, this liberal president. I think that's why he came out. And I mean, I think the board of trustees and this president decided that they did not want to play because of the liability and legal concerns. And they pushed that on Gene. And then Gene's in a tough spot. And I actually talked about it on my episode that will go out here shortly. I think that's the issue. It's like, all right, what do you do? Go defiantly go against the president and board of trustees? Good luck. Like your career's over there. You're not going to have a job much longer. So I think he just said what he had to say and moved on, a lot like my situation where it was like, we don't agree with this, but what else are we going to do? We got to make a statement and keep it moving.
Right. No, I get that for sure. And I guess I won't ask my next question because you alluded to your next episode in Gene Smith. So I won't go into that, but Snook did a good job of of quoting Gene's text last night. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yeah, I did. I love Jeff Snook's stuff. It's always on point and even keeled, like level headed, and makes sense. Like some of these people don't make sense. At least he makes sense.
Yeah, he does. Maybe he should stick around Columbus a little bit longer than he normally does.
Yeah, so. no doubt. Well, I appreciate the call, Joe. Thanks, bro.
Hey, no problem, man. Take it easy. Thanks.
All right, we'll see you.
Later.
All right, next caller on Menace to Sports Beyond the Show is Nick, longtime caller, frequent caller. How you doing, Nick?
Good. How are you?
I'm great, man. What do you got for me? Shoot the questions.
Awesome. I know we talked a little bit about it, but I want everyone to hear this. How do you think Urban would have reacted if he was in the position where Day was, where football is canceled? Would he lose his mind like a lot of the fans think he would, just knowing how intense he is?
Yeah, I think so there's two, I've thought about this a lot, and there's two differences, I think. One is he would have been far less calculated and far less productive as Ryan, just in a knee-jerk reaction. Ryan is very, very even-keeled, calculated, very intelligent. Not that Urban's dumb, but he just, Ryan was able to keep kind of a controlled aggressive reaction, whereas Urban, it would have been an explosion like a nuclear bomb. And that's the first thing. Now, the one thing that I do think is that because Urban is Urban Meyer, he's been a three-time national champion, longtime head coach, arguably was one of the two most powerful coaches in the country in his tenure with Nick Saban and I think that he might have known more people, had more influence, and kind of could have flexed his muscles a little bit more than Ryan was able to. And that's not a knock on Ryan. It's just Urban had that tenure, that time to build that power. And so I think he could have flexed a little harder. I can't imagine a season being canceled when I was coaching with him. I mean, I can't fathom it. At the same time, I say that, but 2012, I couldn't have fathomed that we would have gotten a sanction and banned postseason play after, you know, a complete overhaul in the staff and the whole deal. So I think Urban would have had a better inside track to influence, but I think his reaction would have been far less calculated and far more reactionary than Ryan's. So I think it would have been a kind of hit or miss. You never know what would have been the outcome, obviously. But I think it would have could have been a different one on either end. I mean, it could have ended up in him just resigning, just like he did after the season, whatever, a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's crazy. I mean, I definitely know with how intense he is and everything you've been talking about that it would have been a whirlwind. I'm sure his coaches, and if you would have been on the staff, you would have definitely got the blunt end of that.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, you just triggered a thought to me, is these coaches, like I've talked to probably a dozen Big Ten coaches, not just Ohio State, actually only a couple at Ohio State, but a dozen Big Ten coaches, and all of them are kind of like in a lull, like don't know what to do with their life right now. Like going to their son's practices or kind of, do you go to work? Like you got to get around your players, but like, what do we do now? It's like the year 2020, from the quarantine and Zoom calls and Zoom meetings and Zoom recruiting to now no season. Like this is such an unknown for these coaches that they are literally like in shock right now. Like couldn't even talk about what happened and what's next. It was wild. So I just feel for them, feel for the players, but what a crazy fucking year.
That's crazy.
No doubt. Well, I appreciate it, Nick. You got anything else for me?
That's it, man. That's it for right now. If I can get anything, I'll let you know.
All right, cool. I appreciate it, Nick. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, man. See ya.
Bye. All right, next question we have is a write-in question from Andre. Andre writes, does the Big Ten have to allow a school to leave if they want to, and are there contractual obligations for the university, or can they just choose to leave? So it's a very dicey, and I haven't read the contract, but I would imagine that canceling the season kind of negates 90% of the contract. The only thing that is would be tied into some other move, which I'll say right now, I don't think it's going to happen. I know it's not going to happen, but let's play pretend. Let's say Ohio State said, we want to play, or like Nebraska's doing. Nebraska wants to play in the Big 12, maybe move there. But they have a contractual obligation with the Big Ten Network. So what would be interesting is how the contract is worded. Like, can, without a season, without Big Ten games, I would imagine they have to pretty much jump ship. Like Notre Dame, what happened with them and their national contract merging with the ACC contract was a little different because they had an individual contract, right, with NBC, just a national contract. So it's a little different, but I'd imagine there would be some crossover there on what it would take for them to leave. But I mean, with the Big Ten canceling season, as far as the conference is concerned, I don't think there's any way they could stop someone from leaving. Now, they could say that they're not welcome back afterwards, which is what I think the Big Ten is flexing about right now with Nebraska. But there's no way the Big Ten would do that with Ohio State. That being said, Ohio State is not going to join another conference this year. I wish they would, but they're not going to because of the leadership at the top and above the athletics. The president, the board of trustees, just not happening. He also said, are there players currently on the roster or incoming that will benefit from the time off? Could this time off, you know, what is the impact of the time off? And I'll tell you this, I've talked about it a little bit on the show, but this, I guess, announcement of this season being canceled, it really benefited the shittier schools and the schools with new coaches and new programs. And I've said it from day one when this all started, when spring ball got canceled. Losing spring ball in the summer was so detrimental to Michigan State, to Rutgers, to Florida State, to these schools that got full new staffs, new programs, new offense, new defense. So losing the season for them would be pretty damn beneficial. And that's why it's shocking that we allow Rutgers or Maryland and people like that to vote on it. It's like, no, you don't want to play, not because of COVID, but because you need more time. You don't want to play right now. You guys suck. So there's definitely teams that could benefit from it. Now, and there's certainly these individuals also, I'm sure, that maybe are still a little banged up. Maybe guys that tore their ACLs or guys that had real injuries that weren't going to be able to play this year or weren't going to be healthy for training camp. And maybe they would be healthy for season, but it's kind of too late to get a job, earn a job after that. So it'll be interesting. It won't guarantee this, but you'll see a much healthier college football athlete in general come whenever we play football next. God knows when that is. But then he asked, from a coach's perspective, assuming there's a spring season, how difficult is it going to be to prepare the players to play so many games in one calendar year? And I just don't see it happening. I heard Urban talk about it, and I will echo his sentiments. I don't think the body can handle that. I mean, you're talking about a spring season. So these kids are going to potentially be in pads, like practicing for 10 out of 12 months? I mean, that's not possible. And you damn sure aren't going to have any of your great players that are going to play in January and then go to the NFL in April. No, not one of them. I don't care what anyone says. Justin Fields will never take a snap at Ohio State if they don't play in the fall. It's not possible. I mean, I take that back. It is possible, but it's not going to happen. Sean Wade, never. Wyatt Davis, never. Like, those kids are never going to play at Ohio State again if we don't play anything in the fall, which we're not. So you're definitely... It's definitely not possible. I mean, if they want to, that's why the MAC could do it, right? They could play some games, and it's still going to be a hell of a rigor on their bodies. But they could come up with their own little schedule for 2021. But big time college football ain't happening. The Power Five college football, Ohio State's and places like that, no way is that happening. But I appreciate the questions, Andre. All right, I've got another write-in question from Anthony. Anthony asks, with the time you spent with Gene Smith at Ohio State, are you surprised he isn't fighting harder for Coach Day and these players to play games this fall? So I've kind of already addressed it earlier in the show, but what I will say is this, to kind of further that conversation, is Gene has his opinion, right? He has his stance, and he'll be very passionate about that stance, right? And I can relate it to my situation, whereas Gene was going to stand behind me because he knew reality, right? And he was going to stand on that platform until he could no longer stand on it, right? Once that platform is crumbling beneath his feet, you got to get off, or else you sink with the platform. And so I think Gene, in this scenario, really wanted to play. But after assessing the possibility of actually playing, or standing, taking a stand like Nebraska's doing, assessing the feeling in the Big Ten, the feeling amongst his bosses, at some point he had to get off the platform. The platform was going to sink. And so Coach Day, I think, is a little closer to the players and is willing to fight a little harder. It's also a lot easier to get rid of Gene Smith than it is Urban Meyer or Ryan Day, right? It just is what it is. So I think Gene was putting the statements out there, having those conversations behind closed doors to try to make it happen because that's what he believed in his core. And when he assessed the situation and realized that it was over, he had to walk it back and put out the statement to try to navigate through the rough waters the best he could. I don't think he could have done better than he did. I think this is a much higher up issue than Gene Smith. So I just wanted to reiterate that. But thanks for the question, Anthony. All right, I just want to give you a preview and some of the great questions that we had on our Beyond the Show episode that it'll be released tonight on Patreon. Really appreciate those guys for calling in, writing into the show, And really appreciate you guys listening. Like I said, if you want to support the show, you want the extra content, you want the full episodes, I wanted to make this episode a full public episode just because of just how the ramifications of what happened in the last 36, 48 hours. So wanted to put it out there for everyone. But from as I mentioned, we have a hybrid model. For $2.99 a month, you get full episodes. If you don't want to, can't afford it, don't want to afford it, don't want to spend it, don't think it's worth it, that's fine. We will still be putting out content for you to listen to. You just won't get as much. So thank you to those of you who do support the show. And I hope you enjoyed this show. We are excited next week. Going to have some guests on to talk about, and we're going to get some people from the South to tell us what the feelings really are down there. Because a lot of people up North have no fucking idea and want to give opinions. And I love it. I think it's hilarious. So we're going to get some people that are on the inside down South and let us know what's really going on. What's really happening down South. Are we going to see Alabama, Georgia? Are we going to see Clemson, Florida State, Clemson, Notre Dame? Because I'm telling you right now, if that happens, as a podcast host, as a general college football fan, I am here for it. Now, as a Buckeye, a former Buckeye coach, as a Buckeye fan, I am not here for it. So I kind of torn. But either way, it'd be interesting to see what happens. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, we appreciate you. Hope you were entertained. Hope you were educated. Hope you learned something. Or hope you just passed some time while you mowed the lawn or did some work. Either way, hope you enjoyed it. And as we say, if you didn't, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.